Today's shiur will be beginning Daf Tzadi Vov Amid Beis, Maseches Vov Basra. Before beginning the Gemara, we highly recommend your printing out the Daf Gemara, and even better, ordering your own personal volume of the Shas Ozer, the pre-marked Gemara edition. The last time we were discussing the addition of water to grape residue after the grapes were pressed and made into wine, the water being added to the grape residue, soaking in it, grape residue soaking in the water, and absorbing a wine taste to it. Depending on the result of the straining of that beverage after the soaking takes place, the halacha will address the issue of what bracha does one make on that beverage. We saw on Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Beis a couple scenarios. One scenario, there was a point of agreement. For example, the example cited there was three cups of water were poured over some grape residue, and after straining it out, one found 4 cups of beverage. How do you explain the presence of the extra cup? The answer to that is, it's the extra cup is the wine substance that became absorbed into the water. And with such a significant wine representation present in the water, namely 25% of the total is wine, that warrants a Borei Pri HaGefen Brocha to be recited. The Gemara told us that if one poured in 3 cups of water and then withdrew 3.5 cups of beverage, that was a point of controversy. With that in mind, the Gemara continues from the last line of Tzadi Vov Amud Beis with the following long question. We know that it's a long question by looking at the little kuf that's encircled, appearing in the space between the Gemara text and the Tosfos, namely to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice a kuf circled with a vertical dashed line, and that continues to the third line from the top of Tzadi Zayin Omid Aleph, indicating that this is all part of a long question. What's the question? The Gemara asks, Ubi Yoiser Michdei Midosoi Mi Pligi? And in the event that more comes out than you put in, would there be a machlokas? Notice the arrow that appears opposite this last line of Gemara. Did we say anything about that case of getting more out than what you put in? The answer is we did address that in the last year. This is illustrated by the arrow found above. In other words, we noticed an arrow opposite the last line. Scan up your page to find a parallel arrow, that which is demanded, of course, by the marking system. And you notice the case of 3 put in, 3.5 withdrawn. And we noticed the circled names Rabbanan and Acherim. And it was at that point in the Gemara that they had a controversy. On that, we're asking, is that so? Is that controversial? The Hotnan. We have a Tanaic source. And for all first-time users of the marking system, you notice a section of the Gemara which appears in a frame. In the marking system, Tanaic sources that are cited by the Gemara, Tanaic sources including Mishnayos and Brises, and at times when those very sources have to be restated by the Gemara, they're treated by a frame to distinguish it from the rest of the Gemara text. What does this Tanaic source say? Hametamed v'nosan mayim b'mida. One had some grape lees, residue of wine production, and he added water to the temed. He added water to the grape residue forming temed. That's the name of the beverage. And he poured in a fixed amount, a certain amount of water, umotso kidei midoso, and after the water and the grape residue soaked together, he strained it off and found the same amount of liquid. Potter. Potter means the owner is exempt from needing to tithe. One doesn't tithe from water. As far as the Tana is concerned, this particular opinion holds that that which resulted as a din, is considered water. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda says that you do have to tithe from this beverage. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he is viewing it as wine. The Gemara continues to point out, Ad kan lo pligi elo bichdei midoso. The controversy between the first opinion and Rabbi Yehuda is only a situation where the same quantity comes out that you put in. In other words, if you put in 5 cups of water and then strained this new beverage and found 5 cups of liquid, on that there will be a controversy. Avol v'yoyser michdei midoso. If you are able to strain off more liquid than you put in, lo pligi. There won't be a point of controversy. In other words, only when it's the same amount is there controversy. But if you get more out, the Rabbonan will agree with Rabbi Yehuda that you need to tithe. Why is it that you need to tithe? Because we're viewing it as wine. Just like regarding tithes, we're viewing it as wine, so too with regard to the bracha, we're going to view it as wine. That's the end of our long question. So how is it that on the previous summit on Sadivov and Beis, where we noticed the names Achirim and Rabbonin had been circled, why is it that there appeared to be a controversy concerning this very same case of getting more out than what you put in? The Gemara answers, Hu hadin, de'afilu b'yoser michtei midoso pligi. That just like in the case of same amount, there was a controversy, so too where you get more back, where you get more out, there will be the same controversy. Just like Rava said on the previous Amid. V'hai deko miflegi b'chdei midoso, and that which the source at the top of this Amid that was in the frame set up the case at the same amount withdrawn as was put in, Lahodiacha Koichoi the Rabbi Yehuda, to show us how far Rabbi Yehuda goes in his ruling, that even where the same amount comes out as according to what you put in, and the Rashbam adds, even though there is no Tam Yayin, an amazing opinion, you don't have a wine taste to this beverage, he nevertheless requires tithing. The Gemara continues. Bo'amine Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak mirav Chiyo bar Oven. Shmorim shiyesh bohen ta'am yayin mahu. Water that was poured over grape lees, the shmorim, the wine residue. Water was poured over it, and it has a wine taste. What is the ruling? The Rashbam adds that the questioner here was not familiar with the Braisa from before. Omale, mi savris chamrohu. Do you think that just because it has a wine taste to it, it has a din of wine? Kiwa bi'almahu. The taste that you sense there is a kiwa bi'alma. It's a little sourness, we'll call it. Kiwa bi'alma. But it's not representative of real wine. Before we continue, we take a look at the outside margin and we notice something called Nose Mivne. In the marking system, we offer topic headings and structural notes to introduce the new pieces of Gemara. So as a new topic approaches, one merely glances at the outside margin, and if he notices that we have written in no say, you know that a new topic is about to be learned. At this point, we'll read what we have written on the outside. No say mivneh, the no say, the topic mivneh is a structural note. Hanoisein mayim, v'chozer v'nosein mayim al shmorim. One pours water over over the grape residue, strains it off, and then pours again over the residue some more water. What is he pouring it over? He's pouring it over grape residue that came from, and you'll notice the triangle form indicates a series of different items that we have to connect with one another. The first example will be shel truma. In other words, he's pouring water over grape residue that had served as truma tithe. He had tithed this wine to serve as a truma tithe. When he finished the barrel of wine, he found there was residue left. He took this truma residue, poured water over it. What is the din of the resultant beverage? Second example, meiser, meiser grape residue. Third example, hektish, where one had sanctified to the temple fund the wine, and he's left with the residue, and he's doing the same process. What will be the din of the resultant beverage? Acharei kama pe'omim nechshav hatemet kechulin. If one pours over the grape residue some water, strains it off, does it again and again, at what point will the beverage lose its original halachic status? Namely, if it started off as truma, at what point of the pouring and straining will it then be considered as mir chulin, as non-holy material? We turn to the Gemara, and we notice a framed section, and in the framed section, you see the triangles that we just spoke about. What do the triangles surround? So we notice truma, skipping a line you see meiser, and skipping another line, in the middle of the line you see hegdish. The source, as you can see, is in a frame. The Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara says, Shmorim shel truma. He has grape residue that had originally been part of a truma tithe. Rishon v'sheni osur. The first new pouring of water and resultant beverage, and the second time. Osur means it'll have a din of truma, and it'll be osur for a non-kohen. Ushlishi mutar. If he does it a third time, then it will be mutar for non-kohanim to benefit from. Rabbi Meir, Omer af shlishi beno seitam. Even the third pouring, one has to judge. If there's a wine taste to it, Rabbi Meir is stringent here in his ruling and said it too will have a din of truma. Vishel meiser. Meiser in general is viewed as a more lenient type substance. In general, I say, and that will be reflected in the following ruling. Rishon usur, sheni mutter. The Tanakhama rules that only the first pouring and resultant beverage will be considered having meiser status as well, but not the second pouring. Rabbi Meir Omer, af sheni beno seitam. Rabbi Meir, characteristic of his ruling before with the Truma, says that the second pouring also will have to be judged. If it has a wine taste to it, it will have a din of meiser. The meiser we did not elaborate, but that has its own set of halachic categories. If you're talking about, for example, meiser sheni, then you'd be obligated to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. And if for some reason you can't, then they'd have to go through a redemption process. Let's continue in the source, the third example, Vishel Hektish, grape residue that came from wine that had been dedicated to the temple fund, Shlishi Usur, Uravi Mutter. Even the third pouring will be forbidden to benefit from. This, you can see, is more stringent than even the case of the Truma. Only at the fourth pouring would the resultant beverage be mutter. Rabbi Meir Omer af Ravi beno seitam. Even the fourth pouring will have to be evaluated to find out whether it has a grape or wine taste to it. Gemara raises a contradiction. Veramini, another source. This is called source 2. The first source will refer to a source one, as was indicated by a little one in a diamond. Here, a parallel diamond with a two. V'shel hekdish le'olam aser, v'shel meiser le'olam muter. That's the source. We've dashed underlines the expression hekdish and meiser, and with that, you should be able to compare it to what was found in the source just before. In this source, it says, Hekdish will always be Usr. Whatever number of pouring you're up to, it won't lose its original Hekdish status. With regard to Meiser, it says it's always Mutter, that even the first pouring would not have any Meiser status. The Gemara points this out. Kashya Hekdish a Hekdish, Kashya Meiser a Meiser. As we just said, there's difficulty in both the realm of Hekdish and in the realm of Meiser. There's a contradiction. The Gemara answers, notice we've squiggle underlined the expression hegdish a hegdish lokasha. Do you see another squiggle line, squiggle underline in the vicinity? And yes, you do. The next line at the end, meiser a meiser nami lokasha. What we've done is we've emphasized the two points in the Gemara at which the resolution appears. Hegdish a hegdish lokasha. Kan bekedushas haguf, kan bekedushas domim. We are stringent in the realm of Kedushas HaGuf. Kedushas HaGuf is a situation where the wine had been sanctified as a sacrifice, as a liquid sacrifice offering, known as Nisachim. Nisachim is wine that's dedicated to be poured on the temple altar. That has a high level of Kedusha associated with it, high level of sanctity, and that's what the stringency in source number 2 said. Hegdish lo lamoser, it doesn't matter what pouring you're dealing with, the resultant beverage will have a din of iser, will be forbidden. Kan begdushas domim, the source that indicated that hegdish at the fourth pouring would be mutter, is where the grape wine, the original grape wine barrel was dedicated to the temple fund as opposed to the temple altar. Meiser a meiser nami lokasha, kan be meiser vadain, kan be meiser demai. As far as resolving the seeming contradiction regarding meiser as well, no problem. When you're dealing with meiser vadai, then we cannot say that it's always mutter. Meiser vadai means there is no doubt concerning the meiser, hence we have to say that the first pouring will still have a din of meiser. The source, the second source that indicated mutter, that it's immediately mutter, is where the wine was purchased from an amhoretz. And when you're dealing with a person who's ignorant, there is a possibility he had already tithed it. So you were buying chulin wine. On the other hand, since he's not educated, he's an amhoretz, he makes mistakes in the realm of tithing, it could be that it was meiser. So, since it's a matter of doubt, and we also say that rov amaratzim are mafrish, we can say that you don't have to exercise any stringency regarding the demai wine residue. You now see in the Gemara a slash. The slash indicates that we're about to encounter a new idea. On the outside margin as well, you notice a new topic heading appears, the Nosei. Let us read it together. Dino shel Rav Yochanan. We're going to learn Rav Yochanan's ruling. Kederech she'amru le'inyan isuron, besugya de'liel, le'inyan temed, de'beshvichus harishoinois, nechshav adayin yayin. Just like in the case of Isur, halacha that deals with that which is allowed and prohibited, we saw that the first pourings of water over the grape residue still had a din of wine. V'chein yesh bo kedusha, and that's why there was a resultant holiness that existed as well. Aval b'shvicho achrona nechshev mayim. But the last pouring, each topic as is appropriate, whether it be the third pouring or the second pouring, etc. So just like we said over in the realm of Isur, Kach Omru Le'inyan Hechsheron, so too we're going to be saying or categorizing it as either wine or water regarding something called hechsher. Hechsher has nothing to do with kashrus. Hechsher is a situation where fruits, if they encountered certain types of liquids, the fruit becomes susceptible to tumah absorption. Without hechsher, fruits, food items, are not susceptible to tumah absorption. So using the term hechsher will have a practical bearing on whether we can say that this item will make, if it's a case of a beverage, will this beverage make something else tumah susceptible? Namely, if some fruits come into contact with this wine, water issue, beverage, will those fruits now become susceptible to mekabel tumah? So our note continues, b'shvichos orishonos nechshav yayin. With the first pourings, each topic as is fitting to it, it'll still be considered wine, u'besoif nechshav mayim. The question is going to be, and we'll have to see how the Gemara juggles the point, in truth, whether it be wine or water, both of those substances are known to create hechsher. So the question we're going to have to deal with is, what difference does it make whether you're going to categorize it as wine or water? Fine, in the sugya before, there was practical bearing whether you consider wine or water. If it's considered wine, so it will be considered truma or meiser or hegdish. If you consider water, so it won't be considered those things. We also saw practical bearing regarding the issue of what bracha you make on it. It makes a difference. If it's considered wine, it gets a bori priyal gofen. If it's considered water, it'll get a shahal kol niyah bedvoroi. But as far as hechsher is concerned, what difference does it really make? Stay tuned for the Gemara. The Gemara continues. Omar of Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadok. Kederech she'omru le'inyan isuran, kach omru le'inyan hechsheron. Just like we saw in the previous sugya, the issue of pourings of water over wine residue and the result of how to categorize it. Do we categorize it as truma or not, as hegdish or not? That's the realm of isur. So too, kach omru le'inyan hechsheron, so too, we will know how to categorize it regarding hechsher, regarding making other food items susceptible to tumah absorption. The Gemara asks a question though. You notice a new geometric form as far as our sugya is concerned. In the marking system, we indicate by the appearance of different geometric forms that a series or related ideas are about to appear. We try in our marking system with the pre-mark Gemaras to explain on the outside margin what the role of each marking is as they come along. In this case, we have on the outside margin a heading called Mivneh, which deals with the structure, and a little house form. What are these going to represent? They're kushyos. There's a series of questions. B'matara lahavin alma diber Rabbi Yochanan, with the goal in mind to find out, to discover, what was Rabbi Yochanan talking about. We'll also notice, as we go along in the Gemara, a double underline with dots in it. This is one of our forms of series indicators. The expression underline will be lo tzricha, which means, know that this particular thing is necessary to be taught. They are nisyonos loseis tshuva. So we will see attempts to provide answers. The Gemara continues. Hechsheron demai. When speaking about the water poured over the grape residue, does it have a din of wine or a din of water? And we said there was a practical ramification regarding tumah susceptibility. What difference does it make? As we say, mimon of shach, whichever way you look at it, it's going to be mashu, whether you're going to categorize it as water or categorize it as wine. Hechsheron de mai. I de mayo. If you're talking about it being a machshir, as far as water is concerned. Namely, even the last pouring. What did we say? The last pouring in any of these examples will have a din of water. What number pouring is that? Well, it depends. If you were dealing with truma, so the last pouring would have been the third pouring. If it's you're dealing with hekdesh, the last pouring would have been the fourth pouring. If you're going to consider it as water, achshuri machshuri, it's going to be machshir. It makes the food items that it has contact with susceptible. E dechamra, if you're going to categorize the water grape residue beverage as wine, so from the wine standpoint as well, it's machshir. E dechamra achshuri machshuri. So however you categorize it, it will be machshir. Lo sricha, the din of Rabbi Yochanan is necessary. Shetamdo b'me yishamim, that the wine residue was treated with water, but what kind of water? With rain water. The Gemara asks, and if that be the case, still, what difference does it make? There's a certain assumption in this Gemara, and we could say it now, it'll become clearer as the Gemara goes on, and the assumption made in this analysis is that water is machshir when the owner expresses a willingness, a happiness, something called nichale, he's happy that the water is there. This din of needing happiness is something unique to water that doesn't appear by other machshir beverages. The Gemara tried to answer that there will be a practical difference in the case of the grape residue becoming diluted by rain water. The Gemara asks, but still there's no practical difference. V'kevon deka shokil v'rami, since we think we're talking about someone that found rainwater that accumulated in pails, accumulated in vessels, and he took the rainwater and poured it over the grape residue. Achshivinu. Read this phrase again. V'kevon deka shokil v'rami lehu lemona. Achshivinu. Since he took a vessel in which the rain water accumulated and poured it over the grape leaves, that itself gives significance to the water, and once again, it's machshir. Giving significance to the water shows that the water will have hechshir capacity to it. So once again, what difference does it make that it's rain water that was used to pour over the grape residue? It's clear to us that the owner was machshiv the rainwater, thereby giving it hechsher capacity. So of what interest to us does it make whether we categorize it as wine or water in the realm of hechsher? The more answers, lo tzricha, shenit mad me'elov. The rain water wasn't taken in vessels by the owner and poured over the grape residue. Rather, the rain water fell on its own. Therefore, what does the Gemara think? Well, we have an answer. Since it fell on its own, we don't see the involvement of the human being, human involvement, as far as the water side is concerned. So, as far as the water end of things is concerned, it's not machshir, because we don't see willingness. The Gemara just described it as nitmad me'ilov. It became temed on its own. Temed is the name of this beverage where the water and grape residue mixes. It became this way on its own. The rain fell directly into the vat containing the grape residue. The Gemara asks, but still, even if that's what happened, the kevon deka nugid kamo achshivinu. But after all said and done, when the owner comes and draws the beverage, every amount, every cup that he draws, the owner is granting significance to it. So as such, it will be machshir either way, whether you're going to view it as water or you view it as wine. Omar Rav Papa, bepora sheshoisa rishon rishon. What really took place here is that the water was falling into the rainwater was falling into the grape residue, and you don't have a situation where the owner was drawing off of this mixture any of the beverage. A cow came and drank the first accumulated rain mixture with the wine residue, and then a cow came again and drank more. This process repeated itself a couple of times. You don't have human involvement in terms of the drawing off, showing us that it's significant. So we don't have any demonstration of significance. What are we left with? We're left with it. What number rain water accumulation took place on the grape residue? And at any given point, we have to evaluate which number dilution or which number water residue mixture are we dealing with. If you're dealing with a late number, so then if I come and draw it off, it'll have a din of water. If we're dealing with an early number, then even though the cow may have drunk the first batch, that which remains will have a din of wine. Let us take a look at the Rashbam in the lower part of the page. Bepora sheshoisa rishon rishon hilkach. Beshlishi leko shum machshava. At the third pouring, the third mixture of water with wine residue, leko shum machshava. We don't have any particular mindset here. Below machshir shlishi the truma, the sheni the meiser. The third water mixture with the residue, as if it was grape, if it was truma residue, or if it's the second mixture with regard to meiser residue, we don't have machshava involved. We said a cow was drinking. Below motzi litzrutzi b'shenishbach rishon rishon, and we can't talk about a case where some of it spilled out. The kevon de lo nishtai shom klal ela noifel v'nishbach ein yadua leolam mahu temed sheni o temed shlishi. Since we wouldn't know which number it is, so we can't talk about that particular case of stuff that had just spilled out. Turning back to the Gemara, Omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Omar Rav. We see Rav appears in a firebox. This is a special marking indicating a name or shita that will preoccupy us for at least an omid of Gemara. We also notice in the outside margin a new topic heading, the nosei, Dinoi Shel Rav. Ein oimrim kiddush hayoim elo al yayin haroi linosech al gabi mizbeach. Rav rules that the Kiddush Hayom, the Kiddush passage that's recited at the beginning of Shabbos or Yom Tovim, that Kiddush is recited only over wine that's fit to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. Birkas Borei Pri HaGofen, as far as coming to a conclusion regarding the suitability of the wine for Kiddush by judging what bracha is made on it, is not ein no shikul machria, is not a deciding factor, the amiras kiddush. In other words, if I tell you that this particular beverage is going to have a borei priagofen recited over it, that doesn't automatically mean that you can use it for kiddush. The Gemara, Omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Omar Rav, ein oimrim kiddush hayom, Elo al hayayin haroi linosech al gabi hamizbeach. Kiddush Hayom is to be recited only over that which would be suitable to be poured over the mizbeach. In other words, you can have something that you might have to say a Bori Priya Gofen over, but that does not mean it's necessarily going to be useful for Kiddush. So the question here is, what is Rav trying to, what is he trying to eliminate or exclude? Limute mai. What's not good for Kiddush? You're telling me what is good for Kiddush, namely, if it's Roy for the Mizbeach, so it's good for Kiddush. What's excluded? We have a geometric form that also warrants finding out what its role is. On the outside margin, you notice a Mivneh, a structural heading. This is a volcano form. As we've mentioned in the past, when dealing with the marking system, there's no inherent significance to any given geometric form. All that's expected of you is the ability to connect one the same form as it appears with the next similar form. So in this case, we have a series of volcano shapes. The note at the outside margin says, Mivneh, Nisyonos, Lahavin, Ma, Bo, Rav, Lema'it. These are attempts to try to figure out what is Rav trying to exclude. Shelo ye kosher l'kiddush. What are examples of something that would not be kosher for Kiddush? U'b'chozos mevorchan olof bori pri agofen. Something like that. Something that is deserving of a bori pri agofen, brocha, but nevertheless would not be good for Kiddush. So the Gemara goes on. E lema limute yayin migito. That what Rav is trying to say is not going to be good for Kiddush is something like this. Wine that has been freshly pressed. Maybe it hasn't fermented at all. We might call it grape juice. And what's Rav then saying? That grape juice would not be good for Kiddush. But the Gemara says, V'hot toni Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia teaches the following Tanaic source. Yayin migito lo yavi v'im hevi kosher. That grape juice shouldn't be brought to the Mizbeach. But if it's brought, it's okay, it's acceptable. The kevon to im hevi kosher, since if you were to bring it for the Mizbeach, it would be acceptable. It's called the di'avad, it would be acceptable. Anan, when it comes to us at home, afilu l'chadchilo nami. We don't have to be machmir like in the Beis HaMikdash. For us, it would be considered wine, even l'chadchilo. Even as a first choice. The Omar Rava, Sochid Odom Eshkol Shel Anovim V'Omer Lov Kiddush Hayom. Rava rules that a person can take a cluster of grapes, squeeze them out, and recite over it Kiddush Hayom. And his ruling is a ruling that is true even L'Chachila. So to suggest, like we did at the bottom of the previous Amud, that Rav's din is trying to exclude Yayin Migito as being not acceptable for Kiddush, that's not true. We see that Yayin Migito, grape juice, as is expressed in Rava's ruling, would be okay. Stage 2. V'elo limute, maybe what Rav is trying to do is to exclude mi piha u mi shuleha from the top of the barrel, wine that comes from the very top or from the very bottom. Gemara asks, "V'ha'toni Rabbi Chia, mi pia u'mishulel lo yavi v'im hevi kosher," that one should not bring from the surface of the wine nor from the bottom of the wine as nisachim. And if he brings, it's kosher. We've dashed underlined the expression v'im hevi kosher. What does that show us? We saw this just before. That if for Nesachim it's bidiavad, if post facto it's okay. So as far as Kiddush is concerned, it would be all right lechachila to say Kiddush over it. What was Rav trying to exclude? V'elo limute yayin kolin kushi burak hilistone shel martef v'shel simukim. Maybe Rav is trying to exclude these different type of wine qualities, or different qualities of wine, like these. You have the Kushi wine. Rashi calls it Shachor, it's a black wine. Burak, is a poor quality white wine. Hilistone is, according to the Rashbam, something that's a very, very sweet wine. Shel Martef. We've seen that expression before, that Stam Yayin Shel Martef would be considered the Kosisos, the poor quality wine. Vishel Shel Simukim, raisin wine. And maybe this is what Rav is trying to exclude, tell us that wine made from these sources would be unacceptable for Kiddush. Well, the Gemara says V'hot Tanya, but we've learned B'kulon lo yavi v'im hevi kosher, all of these things that he shouldn't bring them to Beis Hamikdash l'chatchila, but if he brought them, it's okay. So if, as Nesachim, it would be okay, but b'diavad, so for Kiddush it would be good l'chatchila. V'ela limute, maybe what Rav is trying to exclude, is that which would be not good for Kiddush Hayom, to exclude yayin, kolin, koises, mozug, megula, v'shel shmorim, v'sherecho, ra. Maybe that's what Rav is trying to exclude, all of these things. The yayin koses, poor quality wine, the diluted wine, the mozug, megula is wine that's left exposed to possible serpents coming to drink from it. The shel shmorim, the grape lees type wine that we discussed before, and that which is recho ra has a poor odor to it. Disanya, the kulon lo yavi vim hevi pasul. That of all of these things, one should not bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. If one did, it's not acceptable. Limute mai. Which of these was Rav coming to memai, coming to eliminate, coming to exclude? E limute koses. If Rav is coming to tell us that koses would not be good, it would not be good for Kiddush Hayom, well, as far as that's concerned, Plukta de Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Yeshua ben Levihi. That itself is a machlokes between the two of them, between Rabbi Yochanan, who views it as wine, and even as far as Kiddush Hayom is concerned, it would be considered wine. And on the other hand, you've got Rabbi Shua ben Levi that says it's viewed as vinegar. You wouldn't even make a Bori Priya Geffen. So to say that Rav is excluding that, it wouldn't be right to say that when in fact it's a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi. E limute mozug. If Rav is trying to say that mozug, diluted wine, is not acceptable, how could you say that? Iluye alye. In fact, by diluting the wine, you're making it more beneficial. We mentioned earlier that pure wine, fresh out of the barrel after it's fermented, is very hard to drink. It's very intense. So to solve that, we do mezigo. We add water to it. That makes it dafka better, more likely to have a kiddush recited over it. That's what the Gemara means when it says aluye aliye. You're merely improving it. The Amar Rabbi Yosi v'Chanina moidim chachamim l'Rabbi Lozer v'koy shel bracha she'ein mevorchim alav ad shi'itein l'socho mayim. You see, his ruling is that bracha is not allowed to be recited over a cup of wine until some water is added. So you can't say mozug, which means diluted with water, as being no good. E limute shmorim. If you're coming to exclude the shmorim type situation, hey chidomi. Well, we've discussed this before as well with the issue of adding water over to the grape residue. E deroma flosa viosar ba. If someone had poured 3 cups of water in and then withdrew from it 4 cups of beverage, chamro ma'al yehu, that's considered very desirable wine. Why would Rav exclude that? E deroma tilsa viosa flosa paula. If you're talking about a case where someone poured in 3 cups water and then withdrew 3.5 cups of beverage, Pluto de Rabbonan ve'achirim hi. That's already a machlokas that we've seen between the Rabbonan and the Achirim. And we hold like the Rabbanan that even Borei Pri HaGafen is not to be recited. Ella, notice how the geometric form is appearing again and again. All of these are, as we said earlier, these are stages in trying to figure out what was Rav trying to exclude. Elo limute sherecho ra. Maybe that's what Rav is saying. If it's wine that smell whose smell is going bad, not to use it for kiddush. Viboy seimo the olam limute megule. Rav is really trying to exclude the exposed setup. The afagav the avri b'masanenis, and the chidush is even if the yayin megule was subjected to a straining process, it's still not going to be acceptable for kiddush. Now, once it's avri b'masanenis, we have to point out there's no longer an issue of danger. So, what could possibly be the restriction? Rabbi Nechemia, let's say this a little bit more accurately. It was put through the strainer. I have to read the line again more accurately. V'afagav the avri b'mesanenes k'Rebbe Nechemia. Even though it was subjected to the mesanenes as per Rebbe Nechemia's teaching, Rebbe Nechemia is of the opinion that a mesanenes is considered effective as far as danger is concerned. So there's no more danger to concern oneself with. So why can't one use it? Let's see the Gemara. Afilu hachi, even though it's gone through the straining, ha kriveu no lefecho secho hayirtzecho o hayisa panach. The Gemara cites a pasuk indicating, would you offer this to your leader? In other words, you've got wine, water, temed that was left to soak, and it was left exposed. The danger that is that serpents may have drunk from it, depositing their venom in it. Then what did you do? You took it and subjected it to a straining process. Would you now take this wine and offer it to a king? It was strained wine. No, you would say it's really lost its desirability once it's been subjected to the chashash that it had venom in it and then strained out. It's not something you would offer to your leader. And as such, it's not something fit to have kiddush recited over it. The Gemara continues. Bo aminei Rav Kahana, chamua de Rav Mesharshia meirova. Chamar chivar yon mahu. What is the din regarding chamar chivar yon? As far as what that is, there's discussion concerning it. One opinion is it's yayin burak that was mentioned earlier in the Gemara, and the Rashbam called that lavon v'ra, a white wine with a poor quality to it. And the question here the Rashbam says is, what would its din be with regard to nesochim? Omar Lay, the Rova answers, Al Tera Yayin Ki Yis Adom. To appreciate this answer, we look at the Rashbam. Al Tera Yayin Lishtoisoi Ki Yis Adom She Mishakir Yoiser. Red wine is more intoxicating. Midai. Almo Yayin Adom Kore Koidem Linesochim. As far as which takes precedence in the realm of the altar offering, it's the red wine. The shechor ksiv behu. The term shechor, intoxicating, is written in the case of the nesochim. And since the red wine is mishaker yoiser, it would have precedence. Kankanim b'sharon, the Mishnah said that if one is buying barrels in the Sharon region, mekabel lov etzer pitzoy slameya. The buyer is expected to accept upon himself the possibility that he's going to have 10 problematic barrels out of 100. What does that mean when we say problematic? Tana, the source explains, pitzos nois umegurofos, umeguforos, word gofres. Rashbam explains this. Tona pitzos, damoron de mekablum eser las lemea, einon shvuros rios mamash. We're not talking about one is expected to accept 10 literally broken barrels out of 100. The imkain, afilu achas lo mekabel. If it's a question if someone buys a lot of 100 barrels and one of them is actually severely cracked, he doesn't have to accept even one. Ella nois kishar kideros shibisharon. Hey, barrels here that are in question are actually nice looking, like the rest of them. Umegufaros begofris, and they've been treated with a sulfur treatment which serves to add color to them. Vagofris soisimus ashever mechabro tzas. The sulfur treatment, the gofris treatment, fills in the cracks and serves to join it together. Vichurim mishtamesh bohen tzas, and still partially useful. However, since it is internally cracked, just that it has the gofres sealing the crack, it's not going to last a very long time like those that are new. The hoyo velohavu shvurin the gamri, since they're not completely smashed or broken, the tabulov eser lemea. Then there's an expectation to accept 10% in that state. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.